Hamilton with us. Jamie, always appreciate seeing you in studio. And of course, it's that time of the year where we start thinking about the Junior College Baseball World Series.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of it, Jim. Nice to be here again. It's always good to see you, and you've been a great supporter of our tournament over the years, and some of the memories are pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And more memories to be made, of course, coming up this Memorial Day weekend over at Sam Saplesio Field. And we've had a chance to talk to some JUCO coaches. We had Ryan Cogle, who's now Iowa Western's coach, was, of course, coach at Yavapai when they came here and won. So and had the chance to talk with him, last week, I believe. Wasn't a Buckeye when we talked with
Ryan? Yeah, last Thursday.
It was last Thursday we talked with Ryan. So enjoyed that conversation with him. But as we get ready for the series this year, of course, we had instant replay last year, and it's an inaugural season. Just now that you had a chance to kind of go back and look at it, from a broadcast standpoint, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but but I thought it worked really well. That was very efficient. I thought they did a fantastic job of evaluating the play, making a decision, and it didn't slow the pace of play down at all. I thought it was very impressive how it all worked.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because I didn't know how it was going to work either. I think the key to the success was having people on the field like Kyle Rush and Walt Bergman and Darren Colchinary that could help speed up the process too, as operations managers on the field, and then the great volunteer man we had in the booth, Randy Upton, who helped us up there as an umpire that's been here before, and just it just sped it up, and it really did not interfere, as you said.
So this year, of course, in recent years we've seen the seeding come into play, now instant replay. Believe this is the first time in a couple of years we're not going to have any real significant changes in regard to how either the tournament, whether it's a seeding process or a thing like instant replay.
Yeah, no question. I think that got those changes done, and we're just going to proceed with having some great baseball. One of the things that we talked about, and you'll probably already ask me the question later on, but the thing that's going to be pretty unique as far as really giving us a greater view on a national level is all 19 games are going to be on ESPN Plus. So last year we just had the championship game, so I think that'll be a really good way to show the people around the country what we do and how great an event it is.
Kind of take us through that process from going from just the championship game to now having all the games televised on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, one of the things that the leadership at the NJCAA has done a really good job is trying to get their brand and try to highlight their national championships. And so they did it a couple of years ago on Division II, or excuse me, the football at Division I level. And then they got basketball this last year and tried the baseball just to see, and what they were so impressed, and with the national contract that the NJCAA has, they said we need to get all 19 games on. So that's what it did.
And so, you know, that's a great addition to, of course, that increases the national exposure of this tournament from coast to coast and around the world as well. Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, with us. I have to ask you the question I ask you every year, banquet speaker. What is the status of that right now?
The banquet speaker has verbally said yes.
That's good. That's half the battle right there.
And but can't release it just yet, only because things can happen. And
sure.
But that regard, he's very excited, and people recognize the name, and it'll help promote our banquet. But as we always talk about it, it really is about the coaches going into the Hall of Fame and recognizing their years of service. And well, it's pretty unique here, because we've argued with leadership and new leaders coming on, is the banquet really necessary? But it's a tradition that we've had here, and what our predecessors did is really promote for this be the place to go, just like the Division I, to get to Omaha, that type of things. It's good to get to Grand Junction, and some of these coaches that were before I sat on that selection committee were before we maybe got two or three nominees, and now we're going through 20 to 25 nominees, because it really is a selective process, and they really want to get to Grand Junction. So it's about their night as well. Plus, we always know the student athletes like a free meal, so it works out well.
You know that from personal experience.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're never opposed to a free meal when you're a college kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get dress up a little bit and go to the banquet. Always a great occasion with the banquet, of course, the Friday before the Junior College Baseball World Series. Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the JUCO World Series, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Now, as far as ticket sales, of course, online, give us kind of a timeline of when people can start thinking about tickets.
Yeah, thank you. Already we have almost $150,000 in sales.
Great.
On the reserve seating. Single game tickets and the passes go on sale May 1st, but you can check out our JUCO website, jucogj.org, and see how to get those. And the 1 week pass is be available at that particular time.
All right. Let's take a quick look at the rankings this week. The JUCO baseball poll, as you mentioned, Ryan Kogel was with us, Iowa Western's coach. It's still weird to say
Mark not being there,
of course, now at Western Kentucky. But Sean Doty and Gaston College, they were here last year. They're number two in that poll. Johnson County, Florence Darlington, so Flodar, a team that's been here before. Georgia Highlands, Central Arizona, Crowder College, Tyler Junior College out of Texas, and of course you got Salt Lake Community College. DB Nelson and his crew were here last year, and then Walter State, David Shelton, and that group currently 10th in the JUCO baseball poll. So some very familiar names, that have been here before, won championships, or at least been in here in recent years. Jamie, in the top 10 right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we're seeing it, like you said, recent years. We're not seeing the same ones all the time, and I still have difficulty understanding their rankings, because we've talked about this before. A lot of times the Texas teams and Arizona teams already have 15, 16 games in before the people back east even get a game in.
Right.
So it's really kind of hard to really take a good look at it until about the 1st of May, and then you can start seeing the teams that are really, you know, have the good chance to get there. And then what we love about is the stories when you have a one-game playoff and the underdog can win it and then get here to the national championship. It's always a great story.
I do want to acknowledge the passing of Whitey Herzog.
Yes.
Who, of course, spoke at the banquet, I believe it was 2002. I think it was early 2000s when Whitey was here, manager of the Cardinals. Of course, one of the final boys of summer.
Right.
Whitey Ball with the Cardinals back in the day when they won a World Series. And just, I guess, just some reflections, some memories of Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, I can remember him coming to the games. He actually, instead of just coming in and speaking and getting out, he came to the game that opening Saturday and sat with us behind home plate. And the stories, I mean, the guy was nonstop, and it interrupted the game because our ball shaggers were so enthralled they weren't shagging foul balls. We'll take care of this. You guys go do your work. But he was good, and just what a personality. And I've always been a fan of Whitey Ball because that's the way I was instructed and tried to do some things. And he was just a real legend and really embraced the culture that we have here at the Junior College World Series.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Was just did a fantastic job when he spoke at the banquet that year. And an incredible manager for the Cardinals back in the 80s with Tommy Herr and some of those guys that played for Whitey Herzog. Joining us today, Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series with us. Okay, since we're talking Major League Baseball, Rockies.
Use that in the same sentence?
Yeah, I will use that in the same sentence. Last time they have not, there's no relegation in Major League Baseball like European soccer.
Yeah,
they have
you're
not
still been in the big leagues, that's right.
And they don't have the worst record. White Sox looking at you, by the way, with just two wins. But I guess just, we expected to be a rough year with the young players, and we expected maybe another 100-loss season. And we've been accused of trying to put lipstick on a pig a little bit in terms of some one-run losses and things like that, because we can't beat on them all the time. But I guess just you being a baseball man, your thoughts about what the Rockies are going through right now.
Well, it's hard to watch, and to the point of what Connor just said, I haven't really seen them this year. There's not as available, and I'm not going to do the app to try to watch that, but obviously follow them on Twitter and their social media is just to kind of see what the feeling is in the clubhouse. And what are the odds of Freeland being a pinch runner and then getting hurt this early in the season? But I enjoy a game. We still have people requesting our tickets to go. People still like the event. And I think that's what the management there is taking advantage of. But they've got to make big turnaround. I don't know what that involves. And maybe a best out of five with the Jackalopes. Maybe they can get a win a series.
maybe they can do that. I don't know. Jackalopes, they might put up a, a heck of a fight there with him. I don't know.
Who knows? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. So.
No, that's. I think the way things are going right now, that's probably probably a fair thing to say, Jamie. Jamie Hamilton with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I guess just, you know, now that we're into another season with the pitch clock in Major League Baseball, the ghost runner, some of these things that have now been around for a little bit, just your takeaway when you do watch a game of the positives and negatives for you, Jamie, when you watch.
Well, that's interesting. I read an article just the other day that was talking about that pitch clock is really messing up some pitchers' routines and also get them a chance to get hurt a little bit more often, just because they're, you know, resting their body or just taking the big deep breaths and not really having that time. And it's kind of changing the arm angles they're talking about. It was pretty interesting, the scientific analysts that were talking about this thing. But at the most part, fans aren't, you know, it is it's there, and if it can be done in 2.5 hours, then it's done in 2.5 hours as opposed to three.
Well, last night's game at Citizens Bank with the Rockies and Phillies, the fourth shortest game in Citizen Bank Park history.
Wow.
Like 2 hours and change last night with the Rockies and the Phillies. And so there are pluses for fans that maybe attention span's not what it once was for a Major League Baseball fan. It's a good thing, but you're right. There's some other consequences that are coming from the pitch clock. And I know that doing Colorado Mesa baseball the other day, Evan Bunovich forgot to put his pitch com on. He's going to the dugout. I'm like, well, he's going to the dugout. Oh, What's going on? Like, to start the game, I'm like, oh, he didn't put his watch on. Yeah. And that's still stuff that occasionally, like at the collegiate level now.
That's a little bit too much. I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, what about that with JUCO, with pitch com, things like that? Is that something on the horizon?
I haven't seen any information on that they've even discussed it. And I would imagine the more affluent JUCO teams probably might be working with that because they can afford to get them. But there's some junior colleges that, as you well know, that it's all they can do to get the transportation to and from a game.
Sure.
So I would think that they'd have to pass that by the coaches before they got to the national event. Now, I haven't seen or heard anything about that.
One other JUCO-related thing to kind of wrap things up here. Tom Arrington, who came here so often with San Jack, now the Ravens, which is just
weird.
Weird change. But Tom stepping aside for more time with his family. I think some health concerns were part of his decision as well. But a guy that had been here so many times with San Jack stepping aside, and a guy that, of course, you know, and both of us and Buckeye as well, even around Tom Arrington, we all knew quite well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I started my career with JUCO when Wayne Graham was there.
Right.
And then they had somebody in between just for a few years, and then Arrington came in. So when I think of San Jack over my...
And Chris Rupp. Was
a really good guy.
Really good coach,
that's
too.
Right. Chris was good. And then over those 40 years now, when I think of them, I think of just those two, and that tells you why they're so good, is you've had 2 to 3 coaches over 40 years. That says a lot about them. So good luck to Tom, and the Ravens are playing. It's interesting, the Parker Mitchell, I think is his name, had a big league debut the other night for the Senators against the Dodgers. He was on the 2020 team with San Jack, but we didn't have the tournament that year because of COVID, so we would have had a chance to see him. Yeah. But there's another JUCO participant that's made the big leagues.
And that's so exciting, because when you turn on the TV, you'll see either, hey, he played at San Jack, or he played at Cowley, or where the case may be, and then you see some of these guys that make their debuts. It's just pretty exciting stuff.
I agree.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so once again, Jamie, JUCOGJ.org to get your tickets. Banquet tickets, when do those go on sale?
Yeah, that's May 1st as well. So,
okay.
And we can reserve your tables now with our offices being manned our building. And so just call in, and we'll get back to you and get your tables reserved.
All right, very good. So, of course, you'll hear every single game once again right here on the Team Sports Network starting Memorial Day weekend. And we plan on, we've already been in discussion about our coaches' roundtable, or our final four, so to speak, that we do with the final four teams and the coaches of those programs. So we had a lot of fun last year at Chick-fil-A doing that, and looking to do that again the Thursday before the championship weekend of the Junior College World Series. Jamie, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To see you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Scott Hastings from Altitude covers the Nuggets. He'll join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Dear Plugged In, you in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs.